Okay, let's get going. A lot to cover this hour. As you know now, the FDA gaslighted the planet pretty much with their people left to think that they had approved, finally, given final okay approval to the Pfizer vax, which they did not. And we were actually one of the first sites to put that up yesterday, and we're waiting to see. Everyone else was saying, oh, it was approved. It was approved. So we got lucky and got a good hit on that and put it up for you, so you got to see that. There are a number of headlines that are very worthy of going over, of mentioning. They're not going to get any better as time goes on. The Israeli Prime Minister Bennett now says that the Pfizer COVID vax has, quote, faded, end quote, and people must quickly take a third dose. What he said. I think they have the highest vax rate in the world. It's 85% or 90%, something like that. Now he's telling everyone, well, what you did by taking those two shots of Pfizer, it doesn't matter. You've got to get a booster now. So, I mean, are these people being used as lab rats? Kind of looks like it. Same thing is going to happen here, as you know. Delta Airlines to impose a $200 monthly fine on every employee who refuses to take the vax and chooses instead, I guess, to get schwabbed. Good luck on that. You got to ask, remember, every single time, you who are under mandate, what is my life worth? What is it worth to my loved ones, my family? Is it worth a job? I hope not, right? So there's just a few of the things. So we're going to talk about this FDA scam, which is really what it was. It's what they didn't say. Remember the lie of omission. Very, very important. Always remember that. It's what's not said or what is not made clear to the public and the media, such as it is or isn't, that is important. I've got a video of Albert Bourla, B-O-U-R-L-A, the Greek Jewish head of Pfizer, who said some pretty damn funny things on one of the networks. I think it was Fox. We'll touch on that. We're going to hear from Dr. Malone again and get a lot of information from Erica, who is back with us again tonight. Erica Kahn with us once, maybe twice a week, depending on the load, which is only getting bigger. So we'll probably have to do this twice a week to try and stay even fairly close to even with it. Welcome back, Erica. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good evening, Jeff. Nice to be back.
Hey, thank you for not asking me how I am. Thank you.
How are you?
Don't do that. No, I'm very nice, but you get the joke. How
mm-hmm.
are you? How about wonderful? Never been better. All right. So let's, I thought what we might do is play a little bit of Alexander Bourla and his outrageous prevarication. It's an old word you don't hear anymore. It's another word for lying. Let's do that. You want to do that? Well, let's just get started by asking you where we are right now. How are things progressing in terms of the agenda that the dark side has cobbled together over many years? Remember, Pfizer first applied for a patent on the spike 21 years ago. So they knew what they were doing long ago. Where are we? Just in general terms.
Boy, I'd say we're pretty far down the primrose path.
There's no primroses left. We're just on a bare path now. I think you're right.
I mean, Pfizer, as of this year, has made $33 billion on
58.
This one vaccine.
58, one story.
Oh.
Can't tell you which is true. $58 billion in 8 months. That's what was reported. It was an economy story, so it might have been fairly close to being accurate. Look, they've made more money than, it's obscene how much money they've made. Okay? And now with the booster, yeah. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, it's scandalous, to say the least, when you consider how many people have been injured, crippled from these vaccines, and to the point where they can't work, or the head of the household now has to work extra to try to pay for the medical bills that aren't covered. And there's just no recourse for these people, financial or otherwise.
I mean, all of you out there who have been fortunate to have generally good health. How many of you, I mean, we've seen the pictures, the videos, but imagine if this were to happen to you. Say you have a family and you're injured. Now, these injuries, and I don't know what percentage of cases, Erica, are permanent, but many of them are, and they are catastrophic injuries, which are going to clearly shorten the lives of those who have been hit, such as all these innocent young teenage men who have gotten the shot and end up with myocarditis, which two-thirds of them, I think, was it two-thirds, are expected to die within 6 years? Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yep.
So just imagine the carnage that is being done to our society, our culture, and people around the world. It's not just here. We get that. The media teaches us to be myopic and think there's really nothing outside of this country that matters. Oh, my. Tell us more.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I think I saw about a week or two ago that the deaths attributed to the vaccine have now exceeded those that were attributed to COVID, even
yes.
with their pumped up numbers.
Right. Right. What do you know about this Borla character? Anything? Much?
I can only offer my opinion, which is not very favorable, but no, I don't know much about him at all.
Well, get this. Is he a PhD scientist?
No.
Think so, wouldn't you? You know what he is? He's a Greek veterinarian.
That's right. I do recall that now, yep.
Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Pfizer. How does this happen? How did these people get there? I can answer that. Because they're members of the correct club. Once you're in the club.
They were placed there.
That's it. All right. He was born and raised in, this is Wikipedia, Thessalonica, Greece. His parents were Sephardic, however you want to pronounce it, Jews. And they were among the 2,000 of 50,000 Jews in Thessalonica to survive the Holocaust. All right. So, yeah. Anyhow, all the Hollywood script writing is in evidence. Let's listen to this guy, the vet, who is leading a company that has knocked down, it's got to be $60 billion by now. I'm going to play this in two chunks, so I'm going to have to advance it at one point. But we'll listen to this. Did you hear this guy yet? I can't remember.
No.
Okay. Well, get your popcorn. This is a good one.
The utmost concern for anybody when they look at taking a vaccine is to understand if it's safe. Can you explain the scope and scale of what you have done to try to get to this point of getting full FDA approval?
See, she's even playing the game. You've got fully FDA approved today, and that's not true. All right, so here's Mr. Borla, the vet.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be in your show, Dana. We have done a submission to the FDA that has an unprecedented magnitude.
Just you ever heard of a vampire sounding like this?
To give you an idea, the file that we submitted to the FDA was composed by 360,000 pages. 360,000 pages of data.
So they gave 360,000 pages of data to the FDA, which I'm sure the FDA went right through it in about a week, read every damn page.
I don't think there's any other medicine in the world that have been studied so intensively, not only in controlled clinical trials like the ones that we presented to the FDA, but in real world information. For example, we have given this vaccine to more than 1 billion, we have given more than 1 billion doses of this vaccine globally. Hundreds of millions in the U.S. and to have systems.
See, now that's not true. There haven't been hundreds of millions of doses of the Pfizer vax given to Americans. So that is called a prevarication. Back to Bela Bourla. All right, here we go.
In countries where they have full electronic medical records like Israel, where 99.9% of the population is in computerized systems, that we have very good visibility on the safety and efficacy of this vaccine. So I think it is one of the most researched medicines in the world.
So now that you...
Erica? Proper response. Very good. Just good. I like that. In other words, you laughed, which is what this deserves.
I'm speechless. This is nothing but theater because people are getting injured left and right, dying.
All you got to do is look at the videos. I'll never forget the one of the teenage boy sitting there.
Well, how about the one from the other day, woman driving a car and having a seizure behind the wheel?
Yep.
5 days after her Pfizer.
That's right. Well, the little kid, it's the one, and I think some of you have seen it also. Before they had the needle out of his arm, he was spewing blood out of his nose all over his chest.
Yep.
Instantaneous poison. Is anyone even talking about long-term responsibility or therapy or help for these people who are being brutalized and butchered? That's what it is.
No, they're literally without recourse. Some have set up GoFundMe pages out of desperation, but it's pretty bleak. If you don't have insurance or good insurance or stingy insurance, you're not in a good place.
Well, I haven't had health insurance. I can't actually remember the last time I had health insurance. Might have been when I worked for one of the major networks. No, I think it was. But I have not purchased health insurance. I take care of myself. It's called baseline responsibility. You've got to take care of this body you have to get you around. You've been given a chance. And if you degrade your body, you're going to get what you pay for, so to speak. Go ahead.
Well, tragically, a lot of these people that have consented to having this vax, even... I guess went out of their way to get it, are believers in Big Pharma. Better living through chemistry. And they don't really know how to take care of themselves. They're waiting for a cure from Big Pharma. And I think, some of them anyway are having their eyes open to the fact that Big Pharma doesn't have all the answers, and in this case, hardly has any answers.
Especially when they're at the funeral of their partner or one of their children.
Right.
The grief is huge. And I'll stand by my 1 million figure of American dead. Dr. Tenpenny got an insider who allegedly says that there is data, or if you want to be cute, there are data in Pfizer that say 200,000 within 1 week died. I believe that's quite probable. I have no data to support it except for what I see and what I sense and what I feel about this whole nightmare, which is not pleasant. And I know many of you feel the same way.
Definitely. But Albert says it's safe.
Bela. I've renamed him. Bela.
Oh.
Lugosi. Bela Lugosi. Bela Bourla Lugosi. All right. Yvette. Okay, I like vets. Some of my best friends were vets. It's an old joke. All right, here we go. Let's go back to Bela and see. God, I hope they don't come after me. Oh, they've already done that. Never mind. Here we go.
Can the boosters and this technology, the mRNA technology, that's now proven safe and effective over many years, but now for this vaccine?
Booster is a Greek word for more money, I think. Well, never mind.
How do you keep up with that?
How do you?
This is exactly the second thing that I was going to say that we're trying to do, to keep up with the boosters. And what we do it is every time, to keep up with the variants, every time that a variant appears in the world, our scientists are getting their hands around it. And they are researching to see if this variant can escape the protection of our vaccine. We haven't identified any yet, but we believe that it is likely that one day one of them will emerge.
Yeah, you know what it'll be? COVID-22. Remember what I said?
They're already talking about that.
They've got a name. Yep. COVID-22 will somehow escape the deadly net that Bela has his scientists create for all of us. And, I mean, the president of Israel, prime minister, just said, Pfizer has faded. You need another shot right now. I think they should be giving these boosters out at McDonald's before long. They just drive in.
They probably will.
Not a joke. Okay, back to Baylor.
And we have built a process that within 95 days from the day that we identify a variant as a variant of concern, we will be able to have a vaccine tailor-made against this variant.
And then
we have done that with Beta.
What is the process now for getting approval for children under the age of 12?
We are having a very large studies right now. For kids between 5 and 11, we will be able to finish our studies in September. And a little bit later, we are going to do for kids below 5 years old.
All right.
Can you spell the word ghoul? Honest to God, this stuff is, you can't make this up. You can't. 24,000 children in Australia, stolen from their parents, dragged away from their parents, put in a sports stadium, arena, big building, forcibly injected, and the word is there are probably 6 that they were sacrificed. This is a satanic sacrifice. That's what it probably was at some high arcane level. They killed 6 kids. For what?
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
And how many were injured? How many children are injured? How many are sterilized? Probably most for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, their immune systems are wrecked.
Ah. So there you got a little listen to the vet who runs Pfizer. Oops. Excuse me. The rich vet who runs Pfizer. Wow. So let's talk a little bit about what happened with the Pfizer vax being approved by the FDA. Give us your view of that as a scientist. This is pretty
silly
stuff.
Okay, so this is another sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. Pfizer partnered with this company in Germany called BioNTech. And actually what received approval this week was the BioNTech brand of this current vaccine, which, by the way, is not in circulation yet.
Comirnaty.
Yes, Comirnaty. Or Comirnaty.
Comirnaty.
So that one does have full licensure with some stipulations. But the Pfizer one that is currently being deployed here and pretty much anywhere worldwide is still under EUA, Emergency Use Authorization. And having that designation, they are completely liability free. However, they cannot mandate it because it's not fully licensed. They can, however, mandate the BioNTech version of it, which has yet to be produced.
Now,
so
I always thought it was bio and tech together, bio and technology.
Yeah, that's
but
they said tech. BioNTech. BioNTech.
Okay, thank you. Right.
So they're hoping that the public, you know, doesn't do their due diligence and it just assumes that the Pfizer vaccine that's currently in circulation or in use has been approved. But legally, it has not. So they're trying to play both sides of the coin. You know, they want to have a liability-free vaccine, which they do with this Pfizer one, but but they also want to be able to legally mandate a vaccine, which would carry liability with it, although that's something of a joke, too, if you're familiar with the vaccine court. So they're hoping that the public will just overlook this minor detail and assume that it's legal, or I'm sorry, it's authorized, licensed, and all these employers that are now saying that you have to have this to maintain your employment are well within their right.
All right, here's
clever.
Here's Robert Malone again. I played this last hour, part of it, but I'm going to play it again, just so all of you who may not have been with us last hour get a chance to hear this. Dr. Malone is the inventor of mRNA vaccines and the RNA as a drug. What is your estimation of Dr. Malone now, after he kind of came out of nowhere with that Hollywood-looking beard, which has grown a little looser lately? But what do you think of him?
I don't know. He seems genuine at times. But again, he's pushing vaccines. And that makes me suspicious.
Donald Trump. You betcha. You bet. All right, here's we're going to go ahead through this. I'm going to hear Dr. Malone again. It's very interesting to me because it was unknown by most people here.
I'm confused because of what
Steve Bannon is the host, and he intros it.
I'm confused because of what CNBC and everybody's running around with Pfizer. When you look at the letters, the way you've broken them apart, these two letters, they've actually, and I want to go back to what you said about the data. There's really no data, but they've authorized the use of a vaccine. Does that vaccine currently exist? If I want to walk down, not that I'll do it, but if I want to walk down to the doctor and get the vaccine, can I actually get the one that quote unquote has this kind of sketchy, shady FDA approval? Is that available right now, to the best of your knowledge, sir?
It's absolutely not available. So the little trick that they've done here is they have issued two separate letters for two separate vaccines. The Pfizer vaccine, which is what is currently available, is still under emergency use authorization, and it still has the liability shield. The once again, the mainstream media has lied to you. I'm sorry to say that. I know it's a shock to this leadership. But the product that's licensed is the BioNTech product, which is substantially similar but not necessarily identical. It's called Comirnaty. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's not yet available. They haven't started manufacturing it or labeling it. And that's the one that the liability waiver will no longer apply to. So the one that's actually licensed is not yet available. And when it does become available, it will no longer have the liability shield. In the interim, the one that does have the liability shield is the Pfizer product, and that's what's currently available, and it's still under emergency use authorization. So that's no change. Okay. The press has just not done their work and figured out what's actually going on here.
Fine, but
press hasn't done anything. I got it right. Comirnaty. I didn't get the other one, though.
Good job.
Anyway, one out of two. See if he has anything else to say.
We have geniuses like you. I just want to make sure I have something's clear to the audience. And we're trying to be fair to the FDA in this whole process.
Oh, please, Steve. Why be fair to criminals, crooks, and monsters?
Virus. The emergency use authorization, as it currently stands by the FDA for Pfizer, does not allow its use. We have geniuses like you. I just want to make sure I have something's clear to the audience. And we're trying to be fair to the FDA in this whole process.
Oh, please, Steve. Why be fair to criminals, crooks, and monsters?
Virus. The emergency use authorization, as it currently stands by the FDA for Pfizer, does not allow its use for children under 16. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's not what Bela Bourla...
...that are applied for gene therapy products. But in terms of the cardiac issues, they acknowledge that the myocardial issues will require a 5-year follow-up.
All right. Okay, we got enough. This is all so sleazy. It's you really have to try. If you're moderately intelligent, and this audience certainly is that and then some, how can you not see through this? And you're monitoring, among other things, the science papers, you're doing a lot of research, but monitoring the social media and the groups who have kind of segregated themselves into those who have had heart issues, those who have had other issues tied to immediate and other post-kill shot regimens. What are you seeing? Are you seeing, and I know the answer to this. I know what she's going to say, I think, pretty much. But are you seeing the beginnings of a mass across the board immunological competence decline that is leading to cancers breaking out in the body because, among other things, the P53 gene has been disabled, disarmed, or otherwise put on the rocks? Are you seeing more cancers online reported by people?
Yeah, definitely. Leukemias are becoming common in acute leukemias, meaning within a couple weeks of getting the vax, people start getting bruising, and then they go to the doctor. And
not how it works usually, not at all.
Yeah. And then, there's been lymphomas. That recent video with Dr. Ryan Cole, he mentions a 20-fold increase in endometrial cancer. 20-fold increase, yes, in endometrial cancer.
That's uterine cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This is catastrophic.
Well,
and these are among the vaxxed,
cancer.
Correct? These are vaxxed people.
Yes. Well, I would assume so. He was talking in reference
right.
to the vaxxed. Or just that's just a general trend. I don't know if it's, when he receives the samples for biopsy, which is what he does, if they're labeled vaxxed or not. But in general, in the population, it's up 20 times over the previous year. Then what changed? Well, we introduced these vaccines.
Gosh.
But there have been, what else? Breast cancers, the human papillomavirus, which is associated with cervical cancer. What else? Skin cancers. And that's all can be attributed to alterations in your immune function.
Wow. All right. I got an email here asking if we have a paper on the suggested suppression of the P53 gene.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I'll see if I can post that. And let me do this. Now, there was something else I'm going to play here and get Erica's comments on. This is a very interesting, to me, a very interesting video because it, in a very pithy way, brings forth the basics and the rudiments of this outrage, this genocide, in less than 9 minutes. So this guy's name is Fred Morgan. I'm obviously a doctor of some kind, PhD or MD or something. I don't think he's a vet. And this is in Barbados. Now, he apparently has connections and got documents from insiders, apparently from Pfizer. And he goes before a town hall, which is held, I think the prime minister or the president was there, and the guy who was in the middle, there are five of them up at this dais, which is always higher than the people talking. The middle guy is the jerk who's moderating it. And watch how he tries to shut this guy up. It's pretty disgusting. But more than that, listen to what he says. It's very informative. We've heard it before. It's not new. But the way he puts it together is very succinct and I think very much worth listening to.
My name is Frank Corbin.
Frank.
I'm a professional race car engineer.
Frank Corbin. Corbin, not Morgan. Sorry.
Name is Fred.
All right.
I'm a professional race car engineer. I have a background in nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons study. And I also have civil engineering, aerospace engineering, and marine biology as correlated subjects of such study. I came here this afternoon not only to represent the people of Barbados, but to bring a certain educational perspective to what a tremendous amount of people have been asking me with the kind of background that I have in understanding what is actually going on. So I have one question, which I don't want a response to. I don't really need a response to the question. And then I have a series of points I would like to back up that question with. And I'd like to address this question directly to the chief medical officer and to my lady over there in the corner. I'd like to ask the chief medical officer, please, to provide evidence for the public education that describes the isolation of a SARS-CoV-2 virus directly from a sample taken from a deceased patient, where the patient sample was not first combined with any other source of genetic material, i.e. monkey kidney cells, a.k.a. Vero cells, liver cancer cells.
Sir, before the CMO continues, I must remind you that you have to maintain a brief period of time for your presentation.
Sure.
We have...
This is the punk who is moderating this. This guy is really a case bad.
Many persons who still wish
to participate. I understand that, but you also have to realize I'm educating a lot of other people who are listening for this.
We appreciate,
your situation.
We appreciate that as well, sir.
Right.
Sure you do.
That leads me to my next point.
Sir, we haven't heard from the CMOs yet, I believe. Well, he's refused.
Sir, I am not, I'm really not clear, so.
Okay.
So you got to either slow down or.
That's okay. That's no problem at all.
So another member of the dais saying, I'm really not clear. What Fred said was that there hasn't been a single non-tainted virus pulled out of anybody yet in a sample. I think that's what he said. Erica?
Yeah, that's what he's alluding to.
All right.
I'll just move on. I've got limited time.
No problem.
Addressing the situation where a lot of people believe that the SARS-CoV-2 is a novel coronavirus. SARS-CoV-2 is a subclade of the beta coronavirus family. And how do we know this? Simply because we did cross-referencing via the international taxonomy reviews and then correlated those with actual genetic sequences and reviewed them against the patent records that were available, and it is apparent that the declaration of a novel coronavirus is a fallacy. There are several coronavirus sequences that have been uploaded, but there was not one single identified novel coronavirus, none at all. Furthermore, patents on coronavirus sequences were sought as early as 1999. Up until 1999, patenting of coronavirus sequencing was uniquely isolated to veterinary science. First vaccine patent for coronavirus was sought by Pfizer, and more specifically, the patenting of the S spike protein, the same thing we've allegedly only just discovered.
True, true, and more true. The patent sought for it was 21 years ago. And allegedly, we just found out about this terrible new spike protein.
First patent application was filed January 28, 2000. 21 years ago. There is nothing new about this. And in support of that, we have this document. This is the evidence supporting that. This is the evidence which shows that there is no, that SARS is no naturally evolved virus. It's not a naturally evolved virus. No one has ever produced a safe and effective vaccine against a coronavirus. It has never been done. And it never will be done, simply because it's not possible. Therefore, I go on and I quote, the co-receptor-dependent phagocytic general method of action, for those who don't understand that, okay, this is science talk. Okay, I'm following the science now, so bear with me. General method of action for infectivity and pathogenicity, in other words, this is what makes it so deadly, okay, of SARS-CoV-2 appears to be specifically related to cumulative charge resulting from inserts placed on the surface of the spike receptor binding domain. What does that tell you? This is a lab-engineered phenomenon. And how do we know that? We can back up that simply because we have a document produced and very kindly submitted to us by our friends in the CCP Intelligence Service, who gave us this document where it says two mutations were critical for back-to-human transmission of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. This is where AstraZeneca and some of the other vaccine manufacturers get their vector from. It's just that there's one small problem, is that it outlines direct collusion between the Communist Chinese Party and those who were building it. We recognized HKU4 spike, aiming to build its capacity to mediate viral entry into human cells. To this end, we introduced two single mutations. We introduced two single mutations, not they, we. S76R and S76A into HKU4 spike. The S76R mutation was expected to restore the HPC motif. I go on and quote further. We produced retroviruses pseudotyped with HKU4 spike, referred to as HKU4 pseudoviruses, in human cells.
Sir, I think I've given you a fair amount of time.
I'm addressing the doctor over here.
Allow me to share with you one point.
Yeah.
We need you, as this is a town hall meeting where everyone wishes to participate,
I understand,
to come to a point where you give us a suggestion, an idea, or a proper question.
I just want to address the doctor in the corner.
What?
Thank you, Madam Prime Minister. I appreciate your help. I just want to address my lady doctor in the corner. We're going to have a drink over this, by the way. When I challenged you with regard to your ingredients of the Pfizer vaccine, I had good reason to do so. Because I hold in my hands an internal document from Pfizer Laboratories, which was given to us by a very special person who we have contact with, called Reverse Engineering the Source Code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 Vaccine. And this is very, very critical, because it outlines the chemical and the biological processes which were very, very carefully manipulated in order to be able to produce an mRNA that also contained a very, very dangerous toxin to the human body. Do you know what that toxin is? That toxin is called graphene oxide. And every single one of these vaccines in a 30 milligram shot contains 15 billion nanoparticles or lipid carrier particles within the mRNA sequence.
15 billion, Erica, in each injection. Nanolipids apparently either covering or mixed with or hiding the graphene oxide, or is the graphene oxide part of the nanolipid envelope?
It's in the PEG, the polyethylene glycol, which is in the lipid nanoparticle. And it's also in the hydrogel. I don't know that any of them are using the official hydrogel, but it accomplishes the same thing. So the graphene is embedded or enveloped in the lipid nanoparticles.
Got it.
Which coat the mRNA.
Very good. And PEG is on top of that as well.
Yes.
To try and make it have better access.
To disguise it from the immune system.
Got it.
15 billion nanoparticles. And let me tell you how graphene oxide works when it gets into the body. Because when the spike protein then binds itself to our blood cells and so on, graphene oxide then starts to build a structure. And this is why we have people with blood clots, and we have people with heart failure, sudden heart failure, and so on, because
Mr. Corbyn, Mr. Corbyn,
building structure.
Mr. Corbyn, Mr. Corbyn, you're lecturing at the moment.
I'm not lecturing. I'm
you are, Mr. Corbyn.
I'm educating.
And we have...
I'm educating.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Corbyn, we have...
See, this guy is a typical political punk. Thinks he's better than anybody else in the room, sitting up there lording it. I'm God. Everybody in that room would have given up their time to allow Mr. Corbyn to finish. Well, let's see. He's going to finish here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? Mr. Corbyn, we have definitely now given you sufficient time to make your presentation. We have to give others a similar opportunity.
Right.
And therefore, I have to ask you to please make a point, provide a question, or we will have to cut your microphone.
How many points has he made, Erica, already? 20? 30?
Okay. One last question.
As much as you have support in the audience, we have a number of persons who need to be heard as well. This is your final opportunity, Mr. Corbyn.
Whoa.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you, Madam Prime Minister. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that Barbados is actually a signatory to the Convention on the Prohibition and Development and Production and Stockpiling of Bacteriological and Toxic Weapons. And we signed that treaty on the 16th of July, 1976. However, the patent databases that we have accessed proves that COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccines are in fact a bioweapon. And how do we support that? Because we have a copy of the mysteriously deleted Wuhan databases that tell us everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Biden.
All right, there it is. Government in Barbados, a town hall with some extraordinary information, which went way over the head of the headless members of the government dais. Just idiots. That's politics for you. Doesn't matter what country you're in. It's the same arrogance. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, he called them out on it. I mean, they are complicit in carrying out this fraud and in unleashing a bioweapon on their own population.
Absolutely. And it's not going to stop. They're going to need to have that booster shot, right?
Yeah, they're going to be boostering people right to the grave.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. We didn't get you the first couple of times. We're going to get you with the third one or the fourth one. God help
us if
another
variant
comes out.
The latest, I don't know if there's any substance to this, but we initially thought that 20% of what was out there was placebos. The word now is that 50% have been placebos.
Saline?
Yeah, saline or just
something
empty,
similar.
Empty so lipid nanoparticles or just...
Okay, empty lipid nanos, no mRNA in it. In other words, yeah, but there'd be graphene oxide in there. All right, briefly, what she's saying is that they can't take the chance of putting the real vaccine into everybody's arm because everybody would either have a reaction or die. So they're running it up to 50%. With just saline or some innocuous solution that will not kill or maim. Now that you would expect, that's tactics. You would expect that to happen. Now,
definitely,
let's talk a little bit about graphene oxide and 5G radiation again. Graphene oxide in the body is highly reactive to some of the frequencies in the 5G bandwidth. Tell us more. And what does it do?
That's correct. So graphene is a form of carbon, nanocarbon, and it's attractive for the use of in drug delivery and biological systems because it's carbon, and you know, carbon is the backbone of life, so it tends to be readily accepted by biological tissues. It can be used for scaffolding or, as I mentioned, drug delivery, and it has unique electrical properties to it. So as a drug delivery agent, it can cause the body to uptake more of whatever material is also with it. The question is, what happens to it once it's in the body? Now, when it gets into the bloodstream, it will cause the blood to clot. It has a high affinity for proteins, adhering to proteins. So the graphene oxide could explain a lot of the clotting issues we're seeing, and certainly if it's pairing with a spike protein in some fashion, that would also induce clotting and a range of other things. But the insidious thing now is that you've got this graphene in your body that can be picking up the frequencies that are inherent with the 5G technology. And the preferred absorption bandwidth is 6 gigahertz to 18 gigahertz, which is pretty much what they're going to be using with the coming 5G rollout. So you are essentially, if you have this in your body, you are becoming, you're interfacing with these frequencies and becoming a walking antenna. Furthermore, the graphene is known as a frequency multiplier, and so it will take the incoming frequency and then amplify it to a greater frequency and put that out into the environment. And to a point where, if we can believe what these Spanish researchers are saying, it's at the point where it's ionizing radiation, which is extremely damaging to biological systems. And that might explain a lot of the radiation poisoning that we are seeing both in the vaxxed and occasionally in some of the bystanders.
Right. Very good. All right. Let me take the last little bit of time. One of our listeners in the UK, David. Hi, David. Thank you very much for writing in. He's been a longtime listener. He said, just a note to tell you my experience after you spoke with David Oates on his guest slot last night. Myself and my partner, both unvaccinated, decided to risk a visit, as lockdown in England was finally lifted, to see direct relations in the south of the country. Both of the individuals we were due to stay in the same house with for a few days were recently second shot vaxxed with British-made AstraZeneca. Despite minimizing direct personal contact, within 4 hours of us being in that home, with those people, the same house, my partner had major female bleeding issues like never before. She also had a band-like headache around her head, her skull. By day two, we decided to leave because although I have never had cold sores, I had begun breaking out with severe sores in my nose and in my lips. It's only then that I realized that their vax status was based on the herpes virus, and it had shed onto both of us. More scary ways of bizarre effects as I drive the 3-hour trip back. I knew the journey elements very well, but found that each time I tried to advance think my final few route directions, I could not visualize this in my mind as I usually could. It wasn't like any other memory lapse I've ever experienced before. Thankfully, this wasn't long-lasting, but it was very strange, to say the least. David. Thank you, David, for that. A quick comment, Erica, on that?
Yeah, I've heard many, many stories like that now. Sadly, not that uncommon.
Well, after what happened to David, and now another David, and probably millions and millions of others, who are injured, who are not reporting.
They may not realize it's you know, who they're around or that it has anything to do with the vaccine. I suspect
they
many people have no idea.
They don't connect it. I agree. All right. Thanks, Erica, very much. I think we got a lot out that hour, again, as we always try to do, keep everybody up to date on many interesting areas. So thank you very much.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night.
All right. Erica Kahn, and that's our program tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you for being here. I hope this was educational and helpful, and we'll talk soon.